been talking about this faith thing that's, you know, we need, and I was deciding what I wanted to talk about and thinking about a message, and I've been praying about it, and there was a lot of things that came to mind. The last couple of weeks I had to write a paper on salvation for my final doctrine class, and while I was doing that I came across some very powerful verses that I thought might be good to talk about. So I'm going to share a little bit about that and a little bit about just our walk with God in that sort of a context. And most of this is going to come from 1 Thessalonians 5. It'll be verses 14 through 25 if you are wanting to turn there. The passage says, "And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything, hold to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit and whole body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Now, I want to focus mainly on just that last verse, "the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it." You ever find sometimes that you are sort of walking out things and you're just not sure what's going on, where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do, and you find yourself at this place where you are unsure about what's happening in your life, what God is doing, and you're wondering what sort of role you have to play in this? And it's been very evident in my life that God is the one who sustains us all the time. It's not that there are things that we tend to do that, you know, God just sort of will watch over and say, yes, that's good. But he's there walking with us every step of the way, and he is the one. He transforms us. He walks with us. He is the one that takes care of every need that we have, and he is the one that makes us who we are. And the whole thing that I came to while doing this study on salvation a couple of weeks ago was that God is the one that takes care of the process. When we get saved, there's like three steps to the whole thing that kind of, you know, people talk about and discuss. And there's the justification, and that's when we come to God and we say, "I'm sorry for my sins and I accept you." And at that point, God says, "I accept you as mine." He adopts us in and he calls us his children, and then he calls us holy. And what that means is that we are set apart by God. We are called by God. And that is what he's doing in that process. And then as time goes on, this thing called sanctification is beginning. And that's throughout our entire life where we are walking out our salvation. You know, the verse that says we walk our salvation with fear and trembling. It's that idea that we go through life, and during this process there's something that happens as God is changing us. And what's happening there is God is making us holy. He's making us perfect. And, you know, there's a lot of question about when that happens and how that happens and what happens. But, you know, you go and you look at passages like Romans 8, and you come to this conclusion, you know, in the, I want to say 28, it is, you know, and God says, you know, "I do all things for the good of those who love me and are called according to my purposes," you know, and he is the one that, you know, that brings all of that together. He is working to make us into the image that we were originally meant to be, and he's restoring us to that place. And that's really what's going on. And then there are just times when we forget that, or we just walk out and we, you know, are doing something and we're always wondering, you know, what is it that's going on here? What is happening here? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? And I think that's where, like, 1 Thessalonians comes into the whole picture. And, you know, saying, you know, that we need to, you know, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak. That's a good place to start right there. There is a caution against idleness and a caution against standing there and waiting. There's always something that we can be doing. God's called us to something. He's called us to a purpose. He's given us something to do here. We are not meant to merely just live life as though that's all it were. There is a purpose for our existence. God created us to do works. to do good works. There is something that we do in our lives that is good about, you know, things that we do. There's the whole debate about faith versus works, and when Paul's talking about it in Romans, he is saying that we're saved by faith because it's nothing that we do that saves us, but that faith, James talks about it in his passages, and particularly James 2 is good for this if you want to look into that, but he says, you know, that faith is nothing without good works. So our faith needs to be producing something. It needs to be producing something in us, but it also needs to produce something in the world. Faith spreads out in love, and our faith is the fruit of what we do. And when we walk out those things that God has asked us to do, you know, and when we are encouraging others, when we are equipping others, when we are sharing with others, when we are communing with others and fellowshipping with others, we are demonstrating our faith in what God is doing as a church body. That needs to be our focus, that faith that we say, I'm partnering with you and I can help you in this way because I've been where you've been before. And there's always somebody who's been where you've been before. There's always, you know, some ministry that we can provide because we've all been through stuff, right? We've all been at a point where there was just a lot of mess that happened in our life, and there's a lot of things that just don't look good, but then God turns them around. I just read a book during this last class on Nehemiah, and his whole journey to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. There's this point where the temple is rebuilt and people are worshiping God, but there's a lot of brokenness around them. The city is still in shambles. The walls are still torn down, and it's very easy for things to kind of creep in and just redestroy it. There's no need for a threat to be imposed in a big attack because all they have to do is come right in. But those broken walls, in this book, it was by Jack Hayford, he's saying, are representative of our spirit, a representative of our emotions and our intellect, and all that stuff that gets broken down in life, all the stuff that we've been drained of because of our past. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and he takes those things and he builds upon them. He refines them. He makes them what they were meant to be. He makes us into that image. He is making us like Christ. And you know, in that process, we take along those things that we've been through and we become stronger because of it. And that is just such a powerful thing to me, because it means that everything that I'm going through right now, everything that I've already been through, can be used. You know, God takes all of us in, and he uses us in that very way, and he makes us into Christ's image. He makes us what we were meant to be. And when I was reading that, I almost, you know, came to the point of an emotional breakdown where I realized that, you know, what we go through is painful, and it hurts sometimes, and there's just a lot of stuff that happens, and we come to the point where we're like, why is this going on and what's happened? And you know, this isn't the way things are supposed to be. And then God comes up and he says, I know this isn't the way things are supposed to be either. And I'm making them the way they're supposed to be. This whole process that's going on is God saying, I'm restoring things. I'm fixing them the way that they should have been. You know, when Adam in the garden, when he, you know, ate the apple and he sinned and things fell from the way, God immediately began that plan. It was there before Adam even did that, you know, the whole foundation of the world was laid, where God always had a plan for man. God always knew, you know, what was supposed to happen, and he was taking care of that from the very beginning. And you know, you kind of ignore that at times. You're like, yeah, that's great, God was there a long time ago, and that doesn't really help me now. Sometimes we get to that point where, like, what does that mean right now? And it means that whatever we're going through right now, God is fixing, God is working in us. And so what this comes to is we need to have faith in God. We need to not challenge what God is doing. In Exodus 3, Moses has this encounter with God at the burning bush. And God says, you're to go to Pharaoh and you're to ask him to let my people go. And Moses says, who am I to go? What am I? And then, you know, there's this whole exchange between Moses and God. And, while I'm reading it, I'm thinking, how could you be that dense that you would challenge God, that you would think that God could not tell you who you are and what you could do? And I was, you know, reading that, and that hit me, and I was like, whoa. You mean that what God says I am, I am. And so nobody else can take that away from me, you know. And in Timothy, Paul writes to him and he says, you know, don't let anyone discount your youth. And the reason that I think he says that is because, you know, Timothy was called by God. You know, and so that thing that we have in us that God has called us to and God has said you are, it's not that you're in the process when you don't see yourself as what God says you are, when you don't see yourself as the teacher, as the evangelist, as the minister, as the helper, as whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing that God has called you to. God says you're that, and you say, well, no, there's just so much stuff that I have that I don't know what to do with, or I don't know where I'm supposed to go from here, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Moses says this thing, and he says, I'm a stutterer, I can't speak. And he says, you know, who am I? And then he says, who are you? And he's asking all these questions, and he's wondering, how is this going to happen? And then, you know, God says, well, take your brother with you. He can speak. I will teach you to do this, though, you know. And then through this whole encounter, Moses becomes what God said he was. You know, he leads the people out of Israel, and he does everything that God said. You know, I mean, there's always that exchange where we have to come to the point of realizing that God is always working in us and making us that image. And he's, you know, when he says, you know, you're supposed to be a helper, or you are a helper, then you are. You know, God made you who you are for a reason, and there's a thing that you have to come to the conclusion that you can't, that you shouldn't fight God. You know, that when God says you're something, don't say, well, I don't want to be that, or I'm not that, or there's all this other stuff that's happening in my life that I don't want to accept, or I can't accept, or there's this, and there's that, and there's my family, and there's my friends, and, you know, there's my past, and there's all these things, and God says, don't worry about that. You're who I say you are. You know, Andrew was talking about that last week, that list that God has of all those things that he is. And he's really all those amazing things. And then we have our list, and we're all these despicable things, and there's these things that we don't like about ourselves, and we nitpick at all that stuff, and God says, don't worry about that. I'm taking care of it. You know, and that is where we need to put our faith. We need to put our trust in God and knowing that what he's doing and what we're doing is in line together. There's this passage in Ecclesiastes 7:13 that I want to go to. Consider the ways of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? Ecclesiastes is Solomon's words. He's, you know, considered to be like the wisest man to ever walk the earth. He's got all this wisdom, and he goes through this whole point. He was rich, you know, and he lived through all this stuff. And basically Ecclesiastes is his contemplation of what it means to be wise and what it means to live, and he goes through about being rich, and he goes through about drunken lifestyle and the women and the money, and then the, you know, the philosopher, the teacher, the thinker, and he's, you know, going through all this stuff, and he's trying to conclude what it is that's meaningful about life and what we're supposed to be doing. In this passage here, he says, consider the ways of God, what he has made crooked, no one can, you know, and what he made it straight, you know. There's just a lot of things that where God is working, it's you can fight against it. Steve was talking about that when we kick against the goads and we fight against God and we try to, you know, do everything that he doesn't want us to do. And then, you know, we kind of have to surrender that in faith, realizing that God's plan is good and God's plan is perfect, for God knows the thoughts that he has for you and their plans to prosper you. And you got to, you know, come to that conclusion and realize that everything that's happening in your life is meant to be for this thing, you know, meant to go this way. And as much as we kick and we fight and we scream and we don't want to be here and we don't want to be there and we don't want to do this, you know, that's more of our flesh warring against the spirit, you know, where we come and, you know, there's this collision of wills where we are saying, there's these things that I wanted to do and the things that I wanted to be and things that I'm interested in. And God says, I know. I'm going to use every single one of those things. But you got to trust me. You got to believe that what I'm doing in you is good. You got to believe that what you're doing is good. You got to believe that if you walk this out, you'll be made into that image. You'll be doing what you're called to be. You'll be fulfilling your purpose and you will be satisfied in life. You know, there is that point where we need to come to that conclusion in ourselves. We need to walk it out. You know, when I was 11 years old, 11 or 12, we had this conference at church, and there was this guy, and he was talking about changing the world and just how most people, you know, they settle into this life and they live that way and they like it. And then there's this other group of people to where they just, you know, they decide that they want to do something better and they accept God's call and they start changing the world around them and they become world changers. And I knelt there. This was mostly for like a youth group, and I was there just because my dad was the youth pastor, and that hit me. And so there I am, and I'm praying, and then God says, "You're going to be a pastor." And I thought, that was great. That's good. You know, I'm excited about things. And then 6 or 7 years go by, and I'm in high school. And now I'm looking at becoming a math major, a computer science major or something. And I was like, yes, this is cool because I like math and I like computers and I like playing video games. So this is all going right down that path that I really enjoy. You know, there's just a lot of cool things that I like about that. And I'm just like, all right, everything seems to be falling in place now. And then, you know, God says, hey, what about what I called you to? And I was like, yeah, that's good too. I really am into theology and philosophy, and I'm interested in what people have to say and what people think about life and everything. And that's interesting too. But this is what I like. And God says, I know you like those things, and you'll still get to do them. But here's what I have for you. It's a different plan. And I didn't accept it then. And then I'm in college, and I'm in math class, and I'm getting a C, and I'm going to fail the next test because I haven't studied. And I didn't really, you know, worry about it, you know, because it was math, and I didn't really mind, and I could drop out and everything, and take it again next quarter. And then, you know, I came to the point of realizing that everything that I had wanted to do would be much harder because I'd lose interest in it, or I'd have to keep struggling through it because I was the one doing it, that I was the one walking on my own, that I had faith in my own abilities, but, you know, my faith in that what I was going to do would succeed was, you know, kind of in the wrong place. My faith was misplaced in that I was looking to what I thought that I should be doing and not what I knew I was supposed to be doing. And then so when I was looking at that, I dropped out of my math class, I dropped out of my computer programming class, and I was in English. And English is my least favorite subject of all. And that was the only subject I was taking. But I was having a good time in that class. I don't know why. But, you know, so I'm sitting there thinking about all these things that have just happened, and I'm going, why am I here? I'm supposed to be over there. And God says, no, you're supposed to be over here. And I said, all right. And so my dad, you know, he's been going to college, and he's saying, why don't you just take one class? Just take one class. So I take this one class. I actually took two. And they were good classes. And then, you know, that whole time, and then it just moved over to King's, and I've been there ever since. And I don't know what it was, but it was just like once I had dropped out of those two classes because everything wasn't working for me over there, everything started working for me over here. You know, all these things that I didn't think that I really wanted to do, I started finding that I loved more than anything else. I started finding that, you know, people were responding to me in a different way when I was over here. That, you know, the world seemed to look different. Things fell into place. I started to be happier with things. When I had dropped out of those two classes, I was a little upset, you know, because all those things that I was interested in, I had came to the point where I was a little bored with them, you know, where I was, you know, fighting to stay in that place because that's where, you know, I wanted to be. And we kind of got to come to the point in our faith where we realized that, you know, all those things that we think and all those things that we believe about ourselves, that God has this more perfect image of what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to reach out and touch the world. And when I stepped out in faith, I found, you know, that it happened. The things are working for me. I'm getting my associate's degree tonight. Next year, I'm supposed to be getting my bachelor's degree. There's just a lot of things that God does in our life that because we just step out in faith and we say, all right, I'm willing to walk this out with you. And sometimes we don't even have to go that far. I just walked out and I said, I'm just going to go here because you called me to be a pastor, and at least this is a start. You know, I didn't know that King's was the school I was supposed to be at. I didn't know what classes I was supposed to take. I didn't know, you know, how this whole thing would work together. I just knew that I was called to be a pastor, and that's at least a place where I could begin to walk out those things. And I just, you know, I said, okay, I'll go here and I'll start working towards what you called me to be. And then all of a sudden, I'm there. You know, and we got the same thing coming to all of us where, you know, God says, I want you to open up your home, and then you do, and all of a sudden a lot of these things start falling into place. Or God says, I want you to go be a missionary, I want you to go be an evangelist, or I want you to just talk to this person and tell them something because they need to hear something from me and you're the one to give it to them. And, you know, it takes a lot of faith to do that because we're curious about whether, you know, what we have really heard is from God or what we are doing is the right thing. And so we're always nervous about it and we're always worried about, you know, our qualifications, about our experiences, about everything in our lives that's, you know, says no or that says differently about what we're supposed to be. And then you step out in faith and you say, all right, I know I'm supposed to be here, so I'll at least, you know, take this far. And then, you know, a little more of the picture comes, and then you're over here, and then a little more comes, and a little more, and then all of a sudden you're standing over here, and all that stuff that didn't make sense and all the stuff that you knew was supposed to happen and you were very unsure about starts to make sense, and it starts to fall into place, and everything, you know, begins to work. And when I say all that, I don't mean that everything falls into place and the universe is at peace and you never have any troubles again. You're going to have troubles the rest of your life. I can't stop those from happening. But there's a reason those things happen. It's because God is making us into that perfect image, that God is working in our lives, that God is touching everyone else through us. There's a lot of things that are going on, but there's God at the top. God is sovereign. God has a plan. God knows the image that you're supposed to be, and God knows you. And you need to realize that. You need to remember that, and you need to walk in that. You need to, that faith that you have, that little bit of faith, or that all that doubt that you have. You know, in Mark 9:24, we have the father who doesn't believe that his son will be healed. And he says, no, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. You know, there's that war that we have in ourselves to where we believe, you know, only this much. And there's, you know, so much more that we need. And that prayer has to come in. And, you know, we need to spend time on our faces before God. There's a lot of things you can do. There's the fasting. There's prayer. You can just, you know, sit and listen. You know, there's books out there that'll talk to you about, you know, God's plan and what your spiritual gifts are and what your talents are and how all that works together. And those things help you to see that plan. But the most important is spending time in prayer and learning who God wants you to be and then walking that out and trusting that everything that He wants to do will work just exactly as He's planned, because His plan is perfect. And so with that, I'd like to go to prayer. Lord, we just thank You for everything that You do in our lives, all the faith that You give us and all the things that happen because of our faith. Lord, we want to be producers of good works, and we want to be producers of love, and we want to be fruitful people. And so we're asking, God, that all the faith that we have would be made enough, and that when we take that first step, everything would just come into place. And we would be able to keep walking out in faith everything that You have called us to be, everything that You have said that we are, and everything that You have said we're supposed to do. We are asking, Lord, that the faith in ourselves and the faith in You would not conflict, that what You say we are, we would come to accept as who we really are, that we would stop fighting against everything that we know that we're not supposed to be doing, and stop fighting against everything that we kind of think in some way, or we have our excuses and we have our reasons to doubt, that we are asking, God, that all those reasons would be invalid by Your Spirit, that everything that we are incapable of doing by ourselves, Your Spirit would be there with us and encouraging us, and that we would have others encouraging us, saying, yes, You can, yes, You are, and yes, You will. That all those things in our lives that kind of don't seem to make sense, or we're afraid of doing because it might mean failure, or it might mean embarrassment, or it might mean that we have to accept the things that we've done in our past. We have to say we're sorry. We have to confront people. We have to confront reality and you know, worry about all the stuff that we did last week that, you know, didn't seem very nice, and when we yelled at that guy, and you know, when we cut the other person off, and when we didn't tip the waitress, and all those things that happened that just seemed to disqualify us from Your presence, that all those things would be just, you know, diminished in our lives, and our trust and our faith in You and everything that You are doing would be made perfect, and that the faith that we have would just cause us to be able to walk out everything that You are doing. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.